The question was asked, in Tefillah we have different nuschaot throughout, from the Birkot HaShachar through Pesukei Zimra, through the Shmona Esrei. May one adopt changes from the different nuschaot, which one thinks are more complete. There are many levels in which we have to address this. We'll begin with the most basic. When they tried to put out a complete siddur, where different grammaticians sat, and they sat with a team of rabbis, and they put out a siddur which they felt corrected grammatical errors and corrected all kinds of things in the siddur, Rabbi Feinstein was against the siddur. Now, Rabbi Feinstein wasn't a political figure. He stayed away from politics. And he wasn't one who was fond of being against anything. He said, we don't begin to understand the depth of the tradition that we have. And they think they made things better. They don't understand where they made things worse. And they think they corrected things. They don't know how many mistakes they put in. And so he was against changes to the siddur. If you look in Tosfos, you find Tosfos in Brachos develops different concepts based on the size of the letters in the tefillah. And if you look in the Chasam Sofer in Hilchos Tefillah, the Chasam Sofer points out certain halachos based on the size of the letter in the standard siddur. Did you guys notice that there's a size to the letters of Shema and a size to the letters of Baruch Shem? Did you notice that there's a size to the Micha Mocha and the Hashem Yimloch, bold and large print, and a size to the rest of the letters of the blessings of Shema? There's a size to the letters of Baruch. Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kevod, and the other letters. And in the blessing of the Haftarah, that's where Tosfos discusses the size of the letter. So there's tradition here. There's tradition even down to the size of the letters, as Tosfos discusses in Brachos. Tosfos in the Tosfos Rush more clearly. So for us to come and say this is more complete or that's more complete, I think that would be erroneous. It's assuming that we begin to understand when there's so much depth, we have to take a step back and humbly say, okay, this is big. Remember that Tefillah was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. According to many Rishonim, Moshe Rabbeinu compiled the Shmoneh Esrei and the blessings we make. It was just lost over the years. It wasn't institutionalized until the men of the Great Assembly came and re-instituted it. So you're dealing with something ancient. A takana of the greatest Navi. Slowly. Slowly. You have good questions. Slowly. Questions addressed in Tosfos. Okay? Tosfos where? Tosfos and Brachos. I think. So that's number one. The men of the Great Assembly, if we take it literally that they're the ones that compiled the blessings in Shmoneh Esrei the way we know it, well, they had prophets among them. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, because you're compiling something for generations. This has to be godly if it's going to encompass what every generation needs. So for us to come and make changes, hold your horses. That's number one. Number two, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tefillah quotes an Arizal. The Arizal says there are 13 gates to heaven, 12 corresponding to each tribe, and one that's all-encompassing. And so the Arizal says the different nuschaot go back to the fact that each tribe had their nusach, their nuance of prayer, because we have a different spiritual makeup depending on what tribe we come from. And that was given expression in the nuances of change within the tefillah. So for a person to start changing, who says he's doing what's right? You know, your prayer is supposed to go through that window for whatever reason, because of the different strengths that each tribe has. So their prayer has to go up through a different, call it a different path up to heaven, and it's supposed to represent a different aspect of tefillah. So who are we to change? All that being said, within Am Yisrael, there are different minhagim and different nuschot. A person's chozer b'tshuva, he doesn't have a set minhag. A person's a ger, he doesn't have a set minhag. So I think it's a person's responsibility to find a minhag and go with it. But for a person to pick and choose and say, you know, I say this because they say that, I say this because they say that, I think that would be a mistake. I think a person has to realize, A, we don't know what's more complete, and B, there is a method, on a very deep level, there is a method to the different nuschot that are out there. Those that are ancient. I'm not saying those that are new inventions. Those that are ancient, so you see that they're treated with a lot of respect, each one going his way. I think it's important that a person stick to one, because we don't understand the applications. If you're Sephardi, so you look at the Kaf HaChaim, he has a whole system about how the different stages of Tefillah all represent different stages in Kabbalistic approaches to praying before Hashem, and God forbid you should switch even two paragraphs. It's okay, I don't understand anything in Kabbalah, I don't know what any of that means. But I'm saying without going into the Arizal, without going into the Kaf HaChaim, on a simple level, the Nusach represents a tradition. And I don't think we should play games and pick and choose. When I was a youngster, I loved saying En Kelokeinu. And in Chutz La'aretz, Ashkenazim don't say En Kelokeinu. And it was the one prayer that really spoke to me. And I remember asking a Rebbe who I admired whether I could say En Kelokeinu, because I love that prayer. It was the one thing that, one prayer I connected to. And he said, no, you can't. You're Ashkenazi. And it blew me away. I was devastated because I wanted to say En Kelokeinu. I don't know, you know, here in Israel everyone says it, so I'm a happy boy. Now I can say it. Today I hear his answer better. Is there room in different areas to incorporate certain things like En Kelokeinu? So there's room each time a person can ask. But the general approach is one should stick to his tradition. And if one is new and doesn't have a tradition, a ger or a chozer b'tshuva, so then I still think you should go with one tradition.
So what happened when we know we are in an environment that the majority of people are Ashkenazi? And sometimes for some reason people have, many people have problems on answering the Sephardi Zimut. So people are not used to it.
Right? Totally different question. So let's leave that for now. If you want, we'll discuss it later. Any other questions on this?
According to Halakha, we have a tradition of praying Ashkenaz.
So that's a new question. Okay.